In Jesus' most agonizing moments before his crucifixion, he commanded Peter, James, and John to watch and pray. Jesus then went on to moments of fervent prayer in the garden. Unfortunately, those disciples failed in their assignment, and Jesus found them sleeping instead of praying. In this study, evangelist Scott Pauley will lead us and challenge us to watch and pray, to pray faith-filled prayer for God to move and work in our generation. Be sure to listen after the study for details about a special prayer resource Scott is making available through this series. And now, let's join Scott Pauley.
Scripture teaches us that if we're in love with this world, we're really not in love with the Lord. If you love this world, the Bible says the love of the Father is not in you. Those are competing loves, competing affections. May I ask, do you really love the Lord, or are you in love with this world? We're talking from the Gospel according to Luke about our attitude. And we started in our last study to examine first our attitude toward the Lord, because that's where you got to start. And now today we turn our attention to Luke chapter 21, another one of the watch and pray passages. And I want to talk to you about our attitude toward the world. I'm not talking about the created world, the beautiful nature that God has given us to enjoy. I'm talking about this world system. I'm talking about the worldly philosophy, the worldly ideas, the world that the prince of the power of the air, Satan, is really in charge of and moving along. What is your attitude toward the world? Well, Luke 21 tells us what it should be. The Bible says, beginning in verse 34, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." This is a deeply convicting passage, because this gets right down where we live, the world we're living in. We're surrounded by it. We're inundated with it every day. And if you're not careful, you can start thinking like the world thinks. I just want to remind you, this world is not your home. You're a citizen of another country. We're just passing through here for a little while. And so, what should our attitude be? Well, the Lord in this passage addresses several things. First of all, he talks about the danger of drift, how easy it is to drift. I'm thinking now of the words of Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1, that we're to give more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. It's the same idea, drifting, slipping away. It doesn't happen all at once, but a little time, we get our minds corrupted. And that is what he's addressing in verse number 34 when he says, "Take heed to yourselves." Did you know the phrase "take heed" here literally means to draw something close, to draw something near? It's the idea, if you imagine a boat at a dock, it has to be tied off, and it has to be tied close to the dock. If you're not careful, over time, if the knot is not right and tight, over time, that will begin to slip away, until eventually it completely looses itself and begins to drift out to sea in the open water. Let's draw it near. Let's bring it close. Friends, let me just tell you, our hearts are prone to drift. We are prone to let certain things slip. I'm thinking of the words of that hymn, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." So your attitude towards the world needs to be very guarded. It needs to be watch and pray because of the danger of drift. And then he talks not only about the danger of drift, he addresses the luggage of life. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about all the things you pick up, like barnacles on a ship throughout life, that you're really not supposed to carry, but the more you pick up, the more weighted down you are. Listen to verse 34, "Lest at any time," by the way, that's a convicting phrase, any time, never a day to let up, never a day to stop growing, "lest at any time your hearts be overcharged." Now listen to that word, overcharged. That's not what you do with the credit card. Now, the word "overcharged" here literally means to be weighed down. weighed down. Look, friends, heavy hearts go to sleep. Remember the disciples? Sleeping for sorrow? Heavy hearts go to sleep. Weighed down with the chains of sin. Weighed down with the weight of guilt. Weighed down with the bondage of the flesh. Weighed down with this world's ideas. This is the luggage of life. I can testify as a traveler, it's much better to travel light. You can always tell people that are not traveling much because they always take too much with them. I want you to know, you got to lay aside those things if you're going to keep moving forward for the Lord. So he deals with the danger of drift. He deals with the luggage of life. And then he deals with the seduction of sin. He says, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. Listen to this list. First of all, there's surfeiting. That's not something that we use much anymore, but it literally means indulgence, lack of moderation. It was a word used for overeating. Now, certainly we could deal with the sin of gluttony here, but it's not just that that's being dealt with. It's the idea of just letting your body do whatever feels like, letting your flesh have its way. It's very seductive, you see. You have to deal with the flesh. Then he says drunkenness. I want to remind you, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So there's no good thing that alcohol can bring into your heart or into your home, only wickedness. He's dealing here, though, when he says drunkenness, with the dulling effects of an out-of-control appetite. When you come under the control of something other than the Lord, how it dulls you, it dulls your senses, it keeps you from being watchful and prayerful as you should. I'll remind you, you can't be drunk with wine and filled with the Spirit at the same time. And so there's surfeiting, there's drunkenness, and then what a phrase this is, the cares of this life. Notice the plural, many of them. There's a lot of cares, a lot of anxious things, and a lot of things that we can get so distracted by and detoured by. You know, we want to preach against the surfeiting and the drunkenness, but the Lord also wants to talk to us about the cares of this life. Sometimes it's not the sins of the flesh, it's the sins of the Spirit that rage out of control in our lives. And I got to tell you, this is a pretty specific list that he's dealing with the disciples about. I think he knew them. He knew their nature, he knew their tendencies, and he knows yours and mine. And the closest Christians still need to be warned about the worst sins. We're talking about the original disciples being warned about surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. If they needed it, so do we. The first two are about pleasure. The last one's about business. You see, the wickedness in your life, the seductive nature of sin in your life could be some terrible, evil, immoral thing, or it could be normal things out of place, the distraction from what really matters. He deals with the danger of drift and the luggage of life and the seduction of sin, and then finally with the peril of prayerlessness. Because he says, I want you to know, if you're not careful, that day will come upon you unawares. Watch ye therefore and pray always. It's interesting that in verse 37 in the same passage, Jesus leaves them and goes to his prayer place. He goes to the Mount of Olives, the place where he was often resorted to pray, to commune with the Father in that garden. What an example for us of leaving the world, shutting out the world, getting in the presence of God, closing the door, shutting ourselves in with God, and just praying. Only contact, now hear me carefully, only contact with the Holy One can make you holy and keep you holy. Only contact with the thrice holy God can preserve us from so much unholiness in this world. The only way to keep the right attitude towards this world is to keep your eyes on the Lord. And that means to watch and pray.
Are you guilty of the sin of prayerlessness? Do you know the mechanics of prayer, the form, the right words, but struggle to pray, to have a consistent prayer life? Scott would like to provide a resource for you that he believes can help create habits of prayer in your life. His resource, 30 Days of Prayer, is available for download on our website, enjoyingthejourney.org, and also in the show notes. We thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us for each lesson from this series. And may the Lord help us as we seek to have a consistent prayer life.